Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. And I'm excited for a certain kind of reason.
Okay, what is this?
Well, two things.
Okay.
Number one is today is my mother's birthday.
Happy birthday, Katrina.
Happy birthday, Katrina Rogers. I very nearly just said her age, but it's unkind to do that.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think the stigma is slowly being
removed. I have to talk to her about that.
Okay.
I don't know if she would feel... You know, like I would, like if I said her age, that would offend her. I don't know. Maybe she's one of, you know, she's.
You can't speak for her.
I can't speak for her.
No.
I would never even try.
Okay. What's the second reason?
Well, that we're going to be in Orlando in just 5 days.
In just 5 days.
We're going
on vacation. It'll be very fun. Be on the lookout for a new installment of our horror anthology series.
Yes, a daily horror anthology series that we produce on the spot called Four Nights in Orlando.
I literally edit the videos while I'm in line for Space Mountain and, you know, post them while I'm on Space Mountain.
And while I appreciate you doing that because it is the majority of the work, I also feel salty when you have your face in your phone, bitch. I want to be connected to you when I'm in
post. I'm in post,
I understand,
honey,
that you're in post, bitch, but I need to be connecting with you about the decor, because you know that's the number one gag about Disney World is the decor and the amount of effort that they put into the queue.
I can appreciate the queue experience just fine.
Well, look, we'll see. I'll report back next week.
And just really quickly, thanks to everyone for all the nice things you guys have been saying about our Vulture recaps for Drag Race and for Top Model. We'll keep them coming for the next, you know, 50,000 weeks.
Hopefully the seasons will continue for 50,000 weeks.
So there you go.
And continue on. Now, I'm noticing our guest doing something right now, which is gagging me very hard.
Our guest came prepared.
Truly prepared, and with the ensemble to gag as well.
Oh, the ensemble is a gagger.
A gagarina, gagarina.
You're seen first and heard second.
Yes!
Yes! Because our guest understands that podcasts are a visual medium. We say it all the time.
Yes.
Okay, so let's please introduce
but
our guest.
Who is our guest? I'd like you to tell them, because it's sort of an icon to me. And when I found out that we were going to have our guest on the show, I did have a moment.
Our guest, I had a moment because I leapt out of my seat as soon as HPJ sent us the ask.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just a litany of credits to go through.
Oh, so many.
We'll just cherry pick a few. So,
I love cherry picking.
Perfect.
What does cherry picking mean to you?
Well, first of all, we need to get back to your A segment, your A block.
Okay, yeah, so the A block.
Discuss the A block.
You've done a couple of things that I love. You've said the word bitch, which is my go-to word.
100%.
I say it to myself every morning.
Absolutely.
All right, bitch, let's get up. Let's go.
And then you get
Katrina,
up.
Is your mother Katrina?
My mother's name is Katrina.
Okay, here's the thing about your age. You can Google it.
There you go.
So that's out. And then also, Space Mountain, I was around when Space Mountain was built.
In the 70s?
Yes, because I'm that old bitch.
Oh,
and
well,
wait,
no.
How did it feel to
But
know?
I don't look it.
You no, don't look it.
Not at all. Now, let me tell you something. Wait, I want to revisit this. First, let's introduce our guest, because I want everyone to understand and know.
We're going
to
go back. We're
going to
rewind
from.
Like
we're
going
to rewind
like
to the
Hamilton.
To the beginning of the B block here.
Well, you can currently see our guest star in the fantastic new show by Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, Steve Levitan, these
yes,
legends.
Modern Family Zone.
Tuesday nights at 9.
It's called L.A. to Vegas.
L.A. to Vegas. Fantastic
Packed
new show.
Packed with jokes.
Packed with jokes.
And that's a requirement.
Absolutely.
On Fox or Hulu or Fox Now.
Yes.
There you go.
I actually watched the episodes on Hulu.
Thank you very
Quick
much.
Plug for Hulu, where I should pronounce it in its correct way. Hulu.
The way that,
like, Hulu.
The way that the one Ann Dowd,
would pronounce it
has
Hulu.
Pronounced it, yes. Of course, she of the acting studio, acting teacher at Cap 21, so we have to take her word for it.
And Julie Andrews with the Liquid U.
Julie Andrews.
The Liquid U, that's what
the
that
Liquid
is.
U,
yes.
Perfect.
So L.A. to Vegas, please watch it. So, so funny. Our
we implore you.
So
thank you, guys.
We implore funny you. On it. And so, so funny. And this is just truly, and we'll talk about this, a formative role for
I'm
me.
I'm shook.
Todd in Zoolander and
yes.
Zoolander 2.
Of course, the amazing phrase. No,
my mistake,
my
Jacobine.
Mistake. Your mistake indeed.
But just the lip quivering.
Oh, perfect.
You can't beat that. You
and
can't
I have
beat
questions
it.
I did come up with the pronunciation of Jacobin, by the way.
Oh!
That's the tea.
That's the tea, and that's...
And we're having tea.
And we certainly
literally
are drinking
we're,
tea.
We're actualizing
what
this.
What kind of tea are you having, by the way?
Green
pomegranate.
constant comment.
Ooh, constant comment. That's the title of this episode,
constant
honey.
Comment, we got it already.
Ooh. We know.
Come on,
this is on fire.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Just starve the screen. You've seen him in the comeback.
Oh my god!
Another legendary moment.
Scrubs, honey.
Okay, Scrubs. Come through, Scrubs. It's actually rule number 64 of culture. Come through, Scrubs.
And Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh my god, with Ms. Reese.
And star of the stage in the original Broadway cast of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Well, yes.
He knows the queen?
He knows the queen.
I do. All of them.
All of them.
Each and every one.
Each and every one. And there's just so much more. There's literally so much more to listen.
And one of the few Americans to do absolutely fabulous.
And Ab Fab!
What?
Oh my god.
Oh, are they like Harry Potter where they require a British cast?
Well, it's a British institution. You have to achieve a certain level of high society.
And also, I just want to say something.
Yes.
I hope to get to the point one day where I can step forward and say, end this credit. Because I love that. You know the credits that are important to you.
Well, you know what? I knew I had arrived when my agent said to me, Nathan, there's a breakdown. And it says, we want a Nathan Lee Graham type.
Oh!
Stop the presses.
Stop the presses. The presses are stopped in their
tracks. Stop the presses.
Okay, I have a follow-up to that, but just please welcome our guest, Nathan Lee Graham.
It's not even a Nathan Lee Graham type. We have the real thing in the studio at this moment.
Yes,
real
honey.
One.
Yes.
Okay, the follow-up to that
Dumbo.
Is... In Miss Dumbo. We are recording in Dumbo.
In Miss Dumbo du jour.
Miss Dumbo du jour. I need to ask, what was the breakdown for? What was this role?
I didn't even hear anything after that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you just blocked out.
Because I just blocked out.
Did you inquire about booking it yourself?
No.
Because there is a Nathan Lee Graham type.
I want someone out there to, you know, I want to pay it forward.
Bravo.
I also want to judge that performance.
There you go. Absolutely.
And how close did they get to the real thing?
Right.
Oh, my God.
It can't just be all eyebrows and cheeks.
No.
No, it's more than that. Mm-hmm.
Though there's the cheekbones for days. Come on.
Well, thank you.
And jawline.
No work done yet. But
no?
I'm not above it.
No, none of us is.
I'm not above it.
Did you watch the Grammys?
You
know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Unfortunate.
I don't think Gaga got work done.
Are you crazy?
I think it was just the makeup, honestly.
You are a damn fool. She's pulled back.
She had an overdrawn lip.
No.
Now, you can pull back without actually having any work done.
Like with Rue. Rue does that.
RuPaul does it and looks 30 years younger,
right.
Of course.
So, you know, this is what Marlena Dietrich did for years.
Marlena did it, yes, absolutely.
She looks different is all I'm
saying.
All right,
okay. Mm-hmm. But none of us is above work.
I'm just thinking, she's just a little young to get that amount of work. Look, please.
You have a little bit done over the years, so you look like yourself always.
Absolutely. How you get the cast of Real Housewives of... Insert city here.
Yes, exactly. Sure. Also, if you look like you've had work done, it didn't work.
That didn't work. Honestly,
that's a rule of culture.
Number four. Number four.
Mm-hmm. If you look like you've had work done, it didn't work. Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, here's a question I have right off the bat.
Yes.
Please.
Did your character in Zoolander and Mugatu have a romantic/sexual relationship? I need to know.
Listen, if we do 3 and 4...
Mm-hmm, right.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Fine. But I will say, just in terms of canon, Mugatu and Alexandria Ataz, Kristen Wiig's character in Zoolander 2, were romantically linked.
I don't know if that was...
Is that true?
I don't know if that's canon.
I know that Todd enjoyed watching them.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Was that your like direction on set? That was like your action?
The backstory?
That's what I decided to do.
Absolutely.
You made a choice.
I did, and I started tonguing
the dog. I love.
Now the original dog, her name was Kiva.
She passed.
Kiva.
She did.
Well, it was quite long.
She was old then. Oh. But you know, they thought we had drugged her up or something. I said, no, this bitch is just old.
Yeah.
And I wasn't calling her out of her name because she was a real actual bitch.
Yeah, right? 100%. The bitch was old.
Yeah. The bitch was old.
But even if we were calling that dog a bitch, I'm sure it would be a positive.
Oh, absolutely for
100%.
me.
100%.
Yeah, it's such a positive thing.
Yeah, she booked that role. She showed up to set.
Even though
she was old,
she came for you every time.
Betty whited her ass all the way to that set.
And I don't know why people gag when people come for you every time.
No. Hello.
Because they're still coming for you.
Right.
They certainly are. Now, here's what I was gagged for when we were doing the A-block, as our guest called it.
The A-block.
So
an accurate term.
Yeah. I think that what probably happened was you were briefed about, we do a segment called I Don't Think So, Honey.
Right.
And you came with a list.
I did, indeed.
Of grievances. And you added something.
Seven.
You came with seven topics. This is too good.
This is historic.
Because let me tell you something. These two rarely come with one. And then we remember we have to do our own segment and have to make one up. But I do have two options tonight, I'm happy to say.
I came with one prepared, which is usually one more than I have.
Yeah. Okay. So I noticed that you wrote, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes.
I noticed that you wrote something down during our discussion, and I would like to know what that is.
Well, I just wrote something down to refer to something later.
Okay, I understand. See. All right, so he has something to say.
You know, like Dan Rather does on Rachel Maddow.
Dan is always on Rachel.
Well, you know he's an icon.
He's an icon and Rachel
Absolutely.
Respects him.
You know, you have to.
And Dan Rather, he kind of says sassy things about Trump.
Yes, he does.
Of course
yes,
he does.
He's very sassy.
Yeah.
Nathan, do you have any opinions on how often Rachel brings on presidential historian Michael Beschloss?
You know what? You can look at his hair and tell how many times he's been on, because it's changed.
Michael's.
Yes, Michael's has changed over the period of time. He was like, well, listen, if I want to be on this bitch's show all the time,
yeah,
I need to
get my pussy up.
And get a new...
Level your pussy up.
Right. Level your pussy up.
As Audra
right.
would
and
say.
Zhuzh it.
And zhuzh it. Well, zhuzh this is every single conversation that Rachel has with Michael Beschloss. Wow, let's bring on presidential historian Michael Beschloss. Michael, has Donald Trump ever done, has any president ever done this, Rachel goes, Michael, is there any precedent for what Donald Trump has clearly done that is clearly unprecedented? Michael Beschloss says, no. Rachel says, watch this space, and it cuts, it's a commercial break.
This space.
That's what happens every time.
And it does happen every time, and he's always, you know, flummoxed and surprised.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's becoming a beautiful caricature of herself, I think.
Okay, explain this.
A beautiful, in that, like, she gives it to you every ball, a.k.a. she gives you literally the same demeanor, the same take. Pretty much every time, but it's always right. It's always good.
She's spot on. I adore her.
She's number one.
She's number one. She is the female Walter Cronkite.
Yes. Ooh. There you go.
That's rule of culture number 100.
Rachel Maddow is the female Walter Cronkite.
Write that down, kids.
Mm-hmm. Write that down.
Listen and learn, children.
Listen and learn. I have to be tuning into Rachel Maddow a little bit more, because let me tell you, my number one political source of news right now is The View.
Well, and you got to be careful with that.
You truly do, because they're rarely accurate.
Yeah, the blue cards are not always on spot.
No, they're rarely accurate. I think Meghan McCain has a cold this week, and it's really adding a whole new dimension to the annoying there.
To the timbre of her tone?
Yeah, which is already sort of like, it's a
already,
certain kind of voice.
Yes.
Not to talk negatively about a woman's voice.
Oh, no, God, no. No, me too.
No, that's same.
But that's what we do. That's what we do.
That's what we do. You know,
but
what?
It's in a loving way. And like, you know, even the list that we'll get to in a moment.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm a negative person. It's just that I do what I'm told.
You have things to say.
You know, I have things to say. And yeah.
No, but the thing is, I try to like Meghan McCain. I try very hard. Mm-hmm. I try very hard to.
You try 5 days a week.
I try 5 days a week from 11 to 12.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
And that's much more than we do with people we know.
Oh,
personally.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I would actually go as far as to say I know more about what she thinks than even my closest friends.
Yes.
Travesty.
Maybe it's because I assume I already know, but you know.
But you know, you want to love her. You want to get to know people. You want to share other people's opinions. This even gets to one of my things.
Oh.
Which I'll just throw out there.
Throw it out there.
It's both sides. I can't take it.
Oh, no.
I can't take it. It's not both sides.
No.
I'm sick of hearing that phrase. It drives me bananas. And that's all I don't have to go on further with that, but it just drives me bananas.
Yeah. Although, there's this crazy study that was just released.
Go on about the study.
Where they basically tracked back the sources of tweets that were being retweeted by both Black Lives Matter activists.
And Blue Lives Matter.
And Blue Lives Matter activists. And they all went back to the same Russian hacking factory.
Yes.
Wow.
So, and in equal proportions.
Yes.
So what the conclusion was that there's basically two Russian troll hackers sitting next to each other somewhere in like Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is tweeting something on the extreme right side, and one of them is tweeting something, and then the other is tweeting something on the extreme left side.
Yeah.
Just to sow chaos.
Yeah, because they want
in the U.S.
They want to stir things up so that each side sees each other as a caricature.
Well, yeah.
They'd like us to have a civil war, I believe.
Well, but, you know, a house divided.
There you go.
There you go.
A house divided, there you go. That, as the saying goes.
As the saying goes, a house divided,
there you go.
That's actually rule number 14 of culture. A house divided,
there you go. You know what? We're going a little, we're a little trigger happy with the rules.
It's very similar to my expression, which is, if the shoe fits, okay.
Listen, we are getting a little trigger happy with it, but this is the thing. People need to keep up.
Yes, they do. And
this is a lightning round.
Yes.
You need to keep up. This is a special podcast.
We trained for this.
It's not a lightning round. It's an enlightening round.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
that is brilliant. And let me tell you something.
Thomas Jefferson.
You're one of the most brilliant people I know.
Oh, come on.
My friend.
My friend.
And that was amongst the most brilliant things you've ever said.
Thank
you. It's not a lightning round. It's an enlightening round.
And I stand on the shoulders of giants, and they're sitting right next to me on this at this table.
Very much. It's the last thing to go on a woman, her shoulders.
The last thing to go on. Honestly, wait, we need to talk about Nathan's ensemble.
Okay, yes, because you came in with the necklace of the year. Did we call this a necklace?
It's from Hawaii, yes.
Ooh, yes,
they're like shells.
What is it? Describe it.
They're black shells, big black shells.
Big black
shells. But they're formed into these little sort of balls.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Black balls.
Yes.
Yes.
And they're around my neck. Black balls around my neck.
Black balls around my neck. But let's just talk, because the color story is... Well, is it monochrome? How would you describe it?
I'm wearing all in black and white.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So it's all black and white. And technically, black and white are not colors.
Right.
They're basics.
They are shades. Yeah.
And, you know, I can be a very basic bitch as well.
I think we all can. I think we all have that in us. We are going to Orlando in
exactly.
a short amount of time.
Yes. Well, there you have it.
There you have it. Now, are you shady about Orlando?
I am not shady about Orlando. Because people have televisions there.
They do. Absolutely. You know what?
A beautiful answer.
If you live in Orlando, you better tune into Fox Tuesday nights at 9 and watch LA to Vegas.
I like this fucking show. I was watching
it
today.
It's so good.
And I was like, okay, jokes.
Okay, jokes. And you've got great actors.
Okay, can I tell you, I'm gagged for the lead actress of the show because...
Yes, she's very kind, by the way.
Oh,
she's,
of course she is.
I bet she is.
Lovely.
Can I tell you...
Kim Matula.
Yes. Kim Matula, is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
She, the way she delivers jokes, you say, that's a nice person. I can't describe how I feel that way, but
it's
it is
a feeling,
how I feel.
It's an essence, it's a tone, and she is so wonderfully smart and politically minded and just a great, great woman.
I'm
that's
obsessed.
Wonderful to hear.
Do you know where I know her and where you may know her from?
She looks familiar. She looks familiar.
That's because, did you watch the second season of Unreal?
I did not.
She plays. Did you watch Unreal?
I don't know why I guess.
I did when I found out she was in it.
Okay. Good. Okay, so in the second season of Unreal, she plays, like, they get a black suitor, and they're like, well, it's the first year we're going to have a black suitor. So he was a former NFL player, and they put her on the show, and her dad owns an NFL team.
Oh.
And they want them to get together, but she ends up fucking the executive producer, who's gross.
There you go.
And that's the lot of conflict.
Meaty role. A
lot of conflict happens there. And she, you know, she doesn't.
She's fantastic
up.
In every possible way. She's a delight to work with. She's a wonderful person. And I can't say enough about her.
No, she's great.
She's lovely.
And also, my man is on there.
Dylan.
And this is another one. We were talking about my top five before Bowen got it. And you were mentioning that we were talking about Jonathan Groff, as I am wont to do. And you said, is he a mainstay on the list? I said, yes. And then I was thinking about people on my list further than that.
Yes.
And Mr. Dylan McDermott is on
that list.
Listen,
what are you going to do? He's suave and cool.
Suave, cool, handsome as fuck.
And as talented as all get out.
Oh, of course he is.
We are actually having, which is one of my... I don't love this word when people ask me, are you having fun?
First of all,
it's not fun.
Yeah,
it's work.
It's work, but it's enjoyable is a better word.
Yes. It's enjoyable to do.
Yes, enjoyable to do. It's such a joy to do. Fun is for, like, you know, Space Mountain.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do when you go to Space Mountain. You want to have
fun,
on
at work. Shit.
No.
I work 16-hour days. It's not fun.
Because also, Space Mountain,
not
enjoyable.
No. Especially when you get off.
Yeah.
Yes.
The neck is all out of whack.
The neck is
but
fucked.
Dylan is... a dream.
Oh,
everyone,
that's great.
It's so
great.
Fun to work with.
He's great. And I saw that there was an episode which also featured Dermot Mulroney.
Yes, okay. Another dreamboat.
Another true Dream.
He will be returning.
Okay. Really?
Mm-hmm. Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney.
In the same show, and that's a risk.
It's a huge risk. Huge
and who is our third pilot on that? Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel. That's another dream. This is a show full of handsome.
Yes. You know, I was sort of like, okay, well...
Okay, well,
you had to
have a fan.
Yeah, the vapors.
You had the vapors, honey. I mean,
Vicks vapor rub.
And
she's also stunning too, Kim.
Oh yes, she's gorgeous. Listen, everyone on the show is just gorgeous.
You're just like, get out
of
here.
Lovely,
Nathan
lovely.
Included.
And this
Come on. Thank you, I appreciate it.
There you
really.
Go, take it. So talk about this role, because I mean, it's just
Bernard.
It's Bernard. He's
Bernard Jasser.
He's
his last name.
Jasser.
Two S's.
Have we heard the last name on the show yet?
We haven't.
Okay, so this is breaking
tea.
Yes,
breaking news,
Bernard.
Honey.
Everyone's been saying on the blogs, what is Bernard's last name?
Jasser, bitch.
We can confirm it is Jasser, bitch.
Jasser, bitch. Now talk, because I feel like Bernard is so much more than the, and I hate to use this phrase, the quintessential gay flight attendant.
Yes.
He is someone with... agency. He is someone with...
I have to agree with you, and he will continue to show you that agency as the shows unfold.
I love.
Yeah, as the episodes come out.
Nice.
They've been so kind to Bernard, and we're having a great time. And just you wait, Henry Higgins. Just you wait.
No, see, and usually a show on a plane will make me anxious because I am, of course, famously an anxious flyer,
yes.
But I feel right at ease listening and watching to the
yes.
show.
And we get off the plane, too. So we're going to get off the plane.
There you go.
I mean, of course, it's the nucleus of the show. It's the central character of the show. But
right.
we get off that plane, and you get to see other people's environs.
Yeah. It's like the New York City in Sex and the City. The plane is like another character.
There you go.
Yeah. The plane is the fifth lady.
Jackpot, honey. Jackpot.
There you jackpot go. Airlines.
This feels like a very, you know... weird question. Did you have to talk to a lot of male flight attendants or just flight attendants in
general? We have someone there on the set.
Great.
And as a matter of fact, I did an interview this morning. Can I mention what I did it on? Yes, Cheddar TV.
Okay, and, Cheddar.
And they asked me this lightning round sort of game show questions about phrases for flight attendants.
Oh.
I was like, bitch, I just played one on TV. I don't know any of these things.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting.
Right.
And I got most of the questions wrong. But...
That's fine.
It's fine. I got the job.
it's true.
But what's interesting is that we do have someone there. And it's very interesting to see them come in and say, we don't do that. You're stretching this. That's funny if you tie it in with that.
See, I have a question about that person, though. If they're so good at flight attending, why aren't they up there doing it?
Right? Retired.
There you go.
Okay, well, that's a quick answer to the question I have. So now I feel more comfortable.
Yeah, retired.
Now I feel more comfortable with the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, flight attendants...
I love them.
I will say the male ones. I may or may not have had a little...
tryst.
A tryst?
Not a tryst.
Wait.
Does tryst imply two more
something.
People?
No.
Usually a menage a trois.
No, it's not. See, that's what I was worried about.
So maybe I used the wrong word. A tryst is merely when you hook up with a flight attendant.
I just hooked up with a flight attendant.
You did? Wait, spill the tea on
this. This was right after college. This was a while ago.
Oh.
But he was real interesting. He had like his name, first of all, his...
his name was not Bernard.
No, his name was not Bernard. His name was... was spelled with an S-K-Y, Skyler. And so, of course, he took that to the fucking Instagram bank. And at the time, this was 2012, already had like 40,000 followers.
Yeah, he was like redundant much.
Skyler in the skies.
He was like an Instagram famous flight attendant.
He's Skyler in the skies and a freak in the sheets.
Mile high indeed. He showed me like, they get these like, printouts every day of like their routes and
yes
all
we
this
have
stuff.
Yes we have those as well
right and
oh my gosh
it just seems like an untenable lifestyle and so hats off to people
listen
who do that
I always equate them to actors because they have to feel out the audience
yes
they have to know what people are
so
feeling
true.
What they're going through
yeah
sort of a attend to them because you're stuck together
right
like
and,
in a theater
yes
for those moments and it's like we got to deal with each other.
Yeah. And also, every passenger is judging the flight attendant.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I do it too. So I just realized I do this, but I was literally on a flight a couple weeks ago, and I was like, okay, what's the deal with my flight attendant? Are they friendly? Are they cute? What are they doing?
You go
what's
through the whole
list.
Are
they quick?
Yeah.
And you do. You judge them
and
like
they
when
do
someone
the same.
Steps on stage.
And they do the same.
I
with
bet they
every
do.
Passenger. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know?
That's probably fun for them.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, it keeps them going.
Yeah. Oh my God, I've never really thought about
it. It keeps
the inner
me going.
Life.
Especially with our extras. We have extras, on, you know, who fly. On Jackpot.
Is that a similar relationship there? Is that are you treating them with the same sort of arm's length?
In general, yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I don't mean for you to make
yeah,
some blanket
no, no,
statement
no. But in
actually.
General, yes, because you want to have sort of a professional sort of thing of going. But then as far as Nathan to fellow actor, I assume that some of them are actual actors who are a part of the extra. Of course, I'm very kind to them.
Of course, and, of course.
Because you want that sort of camaraderie and all yes. that sort of thing happening.
Yeah,
but in
that.
General, I don't want them near me.
Right, of course. No, get them away, and also they can eat after me.
Exactly.
They can eat after me.
I'm done.
After you're done. I was on a set, and this background person
finished.
Was looking for, there weren't outlets where we were filming, and so she was looking for this outlet, and then I was looking for an outlet too, but then she had, taken this outlet before I did, and so I was just like, hey, you know what, that's fine. And so I went to the PA and I was like, is there an extra outlet for my phone? And she goes, you know what, we're gonna kick that Rosemary off of hers. And I was like, no. I was like, no, don't do that.
It's crazy.
She's like, you get priority. We're gonna kick her off. I was like, no, don't. Absolutely not. Like that.
Because then that does reflect on you,
it
not
does
them.
Reflect
it's like,
on
well,
me.
Bowen Yang
and
knocked
like,
my phone out of its port.
And I was like, no, please don't do that. So anyway, you know what?
But what happened? What was the inevitable thing that happened?
That I went and found my own outlet.
Okay,
and
good.
And all was well.
All was well.
All
well,
was
listen,
well.
you paid it forward. And
paid
so,
it forward.
You know.
Now, I've not really seen that many pieces of art that focus on the life of a flight attendant, but I guess...
No, we're one of the few, actually.
I guess the last one was that Gwyneth Paltrow movie, right?
View from the top.
You ever
was
seen
it,
that?
Was that a film?
It was a film.
It was
yeah,
a television
there's
show.
Never been a television... Well, there has been a television show, but it was before you both were born, and it was called Flying High, and it starred Connie Selica. So you have to sort of look that up.
I'm giving Connie you some, Selica.
I'm giving you some deep dive there.
Please.
Also, they had that Pan Am show.
Yeah, yes,
but it wasn't a comedy.
Right.
Wasn't Margot Robbie in that?
Yes, she was indeed. And she was wonderful in it.
She's wonderful, period.
Also, Jennifer Goodwin. Yes, Jennifer Goodwin as well.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please. Let's interrupt all the time. also, I think I may be making some history here. I might be the first out flight attendant on network television.
That is stunning.
Series
stunning.
Regular.
When you huge. Take into account that the majority of those flight attendants probably have to be gay, right? But also, I don't want to assume.
Well, I mean, even just outside of that, I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
Amazing. Nathan. Trailblazer.
I mean, I'm sure you made some sort of history with, even Zoolander.
Who knows?
You know, you know what? Nathan's been done making history. Done been.
Go.
That's what I meant to say.
Done
been
making.
Done been done making.
Done been done been.
How was it? What was it like to work with Mila Jovovich?
First of all, she is a delight.
I bet.
She really is the best. When we got back, when we did 15 years later, she said, fuck! In Rome, on the set, because I hadn't seen her until she did her stuff. And she was like, why do you look the same? Why do you look the same? Ben Stiller, also, first day of my shooting, stopped all of production and was like, Nathan Lee Graham is here today on the set. Why the fuck does he look the same? All right, let's get back to it.
Because you know what? Ben Stiller... God love him, has aged a little bit in the 15 years since. Still handsome.
Very.
Very handsome.
And such a delight to work with.
Of course.
I really love him.
You know, that's a sex symbol that no one really shouts out.
Oh,
but Ben
Stiller's always
hot.
Been into Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller's hot.
Always done, especially in Zoolander when you saw his body.
Well, I think that was a fake body.
Well, you know what? Tropic Thunder, fine. But by the time you got to Tropic Thunder, it was like, whoa.
There was a scene where they were doing a fake montage of the VH1 Model Awards or whatever, and they cut to his body and it was absolutely ripped. And of course,
at the time was
like, whoa, I have a boner for Ben Stiller. But that could not possibly have been his body.
It might have been a comedic.
Owen Wilson's, that was his real body though.
Let's address this thing that Nathan's just brought up, because do you have What is the regimen? What is keeping this intact? Because the children should know. Unless you don't want to give that away, which is fine.
You can't give away all your secrets.
No, you can't.
You can give away the recipe and leave one thing out.
There you go.
And they have to figure it out on their
own. That's rule of culture number 81. You can give away the recipe, but leave one thing out.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. I don't do anything special.
Okay.
It's the majority of it's jeans. And I don't mean the, you know, like Gloria Vanderbilt.
Not the ones you wear.
Yeah.
Gloria Vanderbilt jeans.
Okay. Okay.
She makes jeans?
She used to.
She gave some good jeans to her son, though.
Mm-hmm.
He looking
yes,
good.
Yes, Jordache, Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know
yes,
Jordache.
All that. The Jordache
yes,
look.
Yes, yes. Ms. Jordache.
Anyway, you know, I'll pull out the old references.
Thank you.
So here's the thing. I just take care of myself.
Yes. Yeah.
I do eat properly. Mm. I work out 3 to 4 times a week.
There you go.
I have, you know, I take care of my skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you have to wear makeup on the set.
Yes.
I clean my face and everything with strict regimen, mm-hmm. morning and night. So I do take care of myself.
Well,
you have to.
Yeah, but part of it's genes, too. I mean, like, if you've got fucked up genes, sorry.
Sorry.
Bye, bitch.
Well, to quote Mila, fuck. why does he look the same?
To quote Mila, fuck.
That's so funny. That's
I love
so
imagining the fury that was like in there, because you know she can serve some fury.
Yeah, and she's so amazing. She's an amazing mother, an amazing musician.
Oh,
she's
that's
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
That's great. You forget, like, wait. Was Miss Christine in Zoolander too?
Yes.
She was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love Miss Christine.
I love Miss Christine.
Yes. Lovely, lovely, lovely. You know, I get along with all of the people I've worked with
yeah.
because I'm the person that's not directly in conflict with anyone.
Right.
I'm usually cast as, you know, that person that is just not, you know.
Yeah.
Which really does just like behoove you just to like be that sort of
because when you go method on set, as I'm sure you do. You're then not stirring it up,
right?
Sure. Whenever you know, I'm cast as the major villain in a picture, I'm always stirring it up.
Listen, I don't have to star in anything; I just have to steal it.
There
yeah.
you go.
Okay,
oh my
though.
God! Now that's got to be a classic Nathan line. Now let's get into the upbringing, shall
sure,
we?
Sure, 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 sure,
okay. sure. Oh
so
gosh!
Now we're gonna ask the question that we do ask every guest, and that is, what is the culture that steered you in a cultural direction? It was when you said, if you were Pocahontas and there was the course that was culture and there was another course that was just a certain other kind of culture, this is the course you chose. Wow. That is a convoluted way to ask the question. Movies, music,
books,
television shows, books,
hometown.
What
anything
made
at all?
Nathan,
okay, I'm gonna
Nathan.
This is gonna sound a little long-winded, but my mom said to me, because I was her first child, and she was a young mother.
Mm-hmm.
Married. But
yes.
young.
Important.
I mean, you know, no bastards around here.
Some of these single mothers out here.
Yeah. These bastards roaming free.
Right? No. So no Hamiltons around here. Okay.
How does a bastard, et cetera?
Thank you.
Thank you.
The question didn't get answered in the musical.
Thank you.
You're going to start the musical with a question? Fucking answer it.
Answer the question.
That's rule of culture number 14. You're going to start the musical with a question?
Answer it.
Exactly. But you can't handle the truth.
No, really.
Anyway, okay.
Your mother.
Yes. So she would sing to me because she didn't get into the baby sort of talk or whatever when I was in her womb. So I sort of feel as though I was predisposed to be something sort of artistic.
Yes.
Then she said I was born and there was lots of lightning. I was born at 1:01 a.m. on a Monday.
I love that.
And she said that my feet came out.
Feet first.
Usually not good.
And then they were like, oh dear, what's happening? Push him back in, turn him around. And then use these things called forceps.
Like
which
these
they don't
gi-
yes,
giant
yes, which they don't use anymore
scissors.
because I was born in the Middle Ages.
oh my gosh.
To pull my big ass head out. My mother says my head now is the same size as it was when it came out of
oh
her womb.
Oh my god.
I was like, you know what? Really? Now you got jokes.
Mom, don't embellish.
Miracle.
But anyway, I digress. And then you know, they would plop me down in front of black and white films.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, this is before Turner Classics and all of that sort of thing. And I used to conflate Broadway with movie musicals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And then, of course, immediately I started working when I was 6.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know.
Where was home? Where did you go?
Well, I was born in St. Louis, mm-hmm. but then sort of raised in Los Angeles, nice. And back and forth.
Because of work?
Right.
Yes.
And so Bad News Bears Go to Japan was like my first film. And then, you know, as a glorified extra, and I had done Sanford and Son and all of these sort of things.
But
you
as
know,
a kid, it doesn't matter. You're in stuff. Yeah.
So, and then my first show was The Wiz. The first national tour, I was a munchkin in Los Angeles.
Because
they would hire the kids locally,
yes.
right? So that's how it all sort of started. I started so early that I don't really know if anything different.
Right.
And I've never done anything else.
Yes, yes. But that's how you know that it's what you're meant to do.
Well, some
in a
people,
way, in a way.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, some people can become disillusioned along the way.
Right.
You certainly have lean times and, you know, and abundant times. But I've just been very fortunate, knock on wood, to have always worked. And
this isn't what we just knocked on. I just want to let everyone know at home.
It's that thing called MD something.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's wood, but it's like chips of wood.
It's right. chips, and this is a veneer. And
right.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, there's wood.
I'm going to tap on wood now.
There you go, do it.
Perfect. You guys heard that?
There you go.
So all you superstitious motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Out there,
thank you.
Get out of here.
And a dose of salt. So that's really how sort of it happened.
Yeah.
And I was always inspired by big, huge movie stars.
Yeah.
Bette Davis, Joan Crawford,
yes,
the whole
the
thing.
Ladies.
Anything sort of typically known as gay now, which just simultaneously means good.
Yes, it
yes.
really truly.
You know, it really actually does.
You know, just it's the same thing as good.
That's right. So did you watch Feud?
Of course.
Yeah, you were a fan.
Oh, absolutely. I knew all of that
amazing.
Stuff before watching it.
Right.
But I enjoyed watching the...
The depiction.
Yeah, the depiction and the layout and how the gals did.
They did quite well, I thought. I think it's a shame that it comes out the same year as Big Little Lies and everyone made it like a competition between them, because naturally that is what happens at the end of the year when there is an awards. They do make it a competition.
They do pit the women against
But I couldn't believe that Jessica Lange would give the performance that she gives in that last episode and go unrewarded. Like, Nicole's amazing and
right.
I think deserves everything, but...
Wonderful.
Ooh, that last episode of Feud.
So good.
That was...
In the living room?
So good.
Yeah.
The whole conversation between all of them... When Judy Davis goes, legends all.
As Hedda Hopper.
Hedda Hopper.
As yes.
Miss Hedda.
Yeah.
I loved all of that. So,
good.
Yeah, that's sort of how I got into it. And, you know, not to be a cliche walking around, but it really is one of those things where I was just enamored with people who are really good at what they did.
Yes.
And very early on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, subsequently got to work with some people that I idolized, you know, like Eartha Kitt.
Oh,
Eartha.
We were just talking about her performance as Yzma.
Oh, yes.
The other day.
Which she did pretty much up to her dying day.
Yeah.
Wonderfully. Yeah.
Oh, it's a legend for all time.
But it's just Eartha, like, there's just footage of her, like, being interviewed. There's just, like, little snippets of her just in different settings, but just, like, saying these, like... just delicious things.
Yes,
about,
iconic drops.
Yes, that's the perfect description.
Iconic drops.
Like just her about her not needing a man.
Yes,
or,
and compromising.
And compromising.
Yeah.
Yes. And she just like just has. And she like laughs away questions. She'll be like, "What?"
I love that.
She'll be like, "What?" like just ridiculing the person who's asking her these questions.
Well, yeah, it's like, how dare you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, why would you ask me that? But what a perfect way to be like, no, what you just asked me was stupid.
Is insane.
And I refuse to answer.
Well, we had a delightful time doing the wild party.
Please, talk about her. Because I was going to ask, you said you worked with her. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a wonderful Broadway cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to leave anyone out, but I'll start naming... You know, names of dear friends like Michael McElroy and Norm Lewis and Tanya Pinkins and Toni Collette and Mandy Patinkin and...
Oh, my gosh.
Leah Hawking, Sally Murphy, Jane Summerhays. Oh, gosh. I'm leaving people out, and I hate that. Brooke Sunny Morber. Just a whole list of
that's
wonderful,
unbelievable.
Wonderful people.
Ms. Toni Collette.
Mr. Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, true.
I mean...
And Eartha, of course.
Of course, Eartha, but, you know...
Stuart Zagnit, Adam Gruper. It's all
go.
Coming to me.
There you go.
I can't believe Toni Collette sometimes. I think she should be one of those actors.
Yancy Arias. I'll just keep throwing them in.
Please, just as they come.
For the rest of the episode, I'll just talk about Toni Collette.
Please.
And you can chime in with more names.
With more names.
No.
No, I mean...
I mean, listen,
stunning.
What do you say?
What do you say?
Well, it's like we had John early on the show, and he that's his beloved, is Toni Collette, and he always does a wonderful impression of, I wanted to make my mother proud. My mother proud.
It's amazing.
Of course, in the Sixth Sense.
Nathan, is there opportunity, enthusiasm, interest? I mean, this feels like such an obvious question to return to the theater at some point.
Oh, please. I never want to leave it.
But you're in LA now.
Well, I am, but you know, you have time off. And you always prepare to do things on the...
Forget.
You can't really, if you are a serious person, a serious artist, you can't really ever leave anything, especially if you want to come back to it.
Right.
I just saw Hello, Dolly, and and Bernadette's back in, you know, on Broadway, and Victor Garber is there as well. These are people who do tons of television as well, so, you know, but they're back on stage.
Right.
And you can't, if you really want to, you know, I hope to be ubiquitous in that kind of way, where you just keep it going.
I think you're already there. I think it's just about scaling that up.
100%. Yes. Yeah. I have a question. So you said you've been doing it since you were very, very young, and it's always been a part of your life. Was there ever a moment where you were like, you know what, let me set this to the side for a second and just see if I have another passion or anything, or not at all?
Not at all.
Good.
And I thought about it, but I never did it.
Right.
And then it got to be too late.
Well, at that
where point, I became such a weirdo, you know, such a specialized person
yeah.
that my lens of seeing anything was always through that sort of artist lens.
Sure.
And so really, I'm not suited
to do anything
else.
I feel that way as well.
Yeah, same.
If anyone asked me to ever do anything besides sit here and talk, I would vomit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love to talk.
That's true.
On occasion. But, I mean, that's also performative, right?
Right.
And I have to have something to talk about. So it means I have to keep working.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
You got to get those projects to be able to talk.
You got to do it.
You got to just do it.
You know what? I hope this is the same for the both of you. But I would talk to anyone in this room, even if we didn't have jobs, even if we weren't working. I would talk to any of you.
Let me scan the room. I think I'd talk to you
all. Yes, absolutely. Okay, sure.
Thank you.
HPJ just fanned himself and put only his fingers on his chest, which
that's where they go.
Which means he's been hanging out with us too much.
He gave
himself two fans and then placed his hand on his chest like he was Bibi Zahara-Binet in that one music video.
Cameroon?
She was the first winner, yes.
The first winner.
Do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes.
It's okay if you don't.
No. I do.
Yes. But
I do for the papers. I always say...
For the papers.
For the papers?
No, of course. I've had a friend on every episode.
Oh, really? God.
You know, at least one person.
Oh, you mean like in terms of the guest judges or the queens?
Both.
Really?
Wow.
So I hope to be a guest judge on that show someday.
Oh, I think you're on the path.
Fabulous guest judge.
And I adore them all. And I think what Rue is doing is so important.
Revolutionary.
You know, just bringing it to the children. Absolutely. Bringing it to all the children. I would be remiss... My publicist would not be pleased if I did not mention
Dan.
NLG NYC Le Jazz Classique. That's the new jazz album that I'm working on this year. And it will be completed hopefully by the end of 2018.
We're going to talk about this album, but
we love that.
Is this true that you are technically a Grammy winning artist?
I am.
Ah, do you have the Grammy at your house?
No, because when you're a part of 9 soloists,
right?
Even though I did 10 numbers,
you have to pay for it.
So I technically have 2. We won 7 for Best Classical Album of 2005. So it's still, you know, it's there for me.
It's there.
I just haven't bothered to do it.
Sure.
We actually broke that tea that you have to pay for the actual statue, which was such...
Because it goes to the composer, William Bolcom, this is the Songs of Innocence and of Experience. William Blake, we put to music. And it's very heady and wonderful, like this 3-hour cantata oratorio sort of thing.
Oh, my God.
And I was just privileged enough to be a part of it.
That's so cool.
I mean, but you've got the G in the EGOT.
So yeah,
that's true. So is that the only one you have thus far?
I got the G, I got to get the T.
You'll get the E and the T, of course.
The E is going
to
happen.
Alec Mappa says, and the Emmy goes to, I said, listen, bitch, if that happens, you're going to go to the ceremony with me.
Yes.
Why did I say that? Because other people were like, wait a minute, you better have a +2 then.
Oh,
Wait.
But it was so kind of him. I adore Alec Mappa. He's so talented.
Talk about Alec. Yeah, he's a hero of mine, just, you know, for very obvious
reasons. Well, I've loved him 4,000 years.
Oh, my God. He's just the best.
He is the best. And he's so generous and so supportive and lovely and just super talented.
Wow. You wouldn't think anything less. I mean, he is like Kim in that you see them killing the jokes and you're like, that's a nice person too.
But with Alec, it's like, I mean, you know, this visibility, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you know, you weren't seeing any... Oh, you still aren't. I mean, you weren't seeing, like, a queer Asian person.
No, you weren't. And you still don't see enough of them.
No. Right.
And so, listen, you don't see enough of anybody.
No, you don't.
I believe... Yes. Now, let's get a little political.
I believe that,
you know, there should be some sort of gay representative in everything. Because there is.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was just lost here on Pearl Street by myself. That's a gay lost on Pearl Street.
And there's one.
Just one.
And that's all we need.
Okay.
And you represented them so well.
Yeah. See?
Thank you.
Thank you on these cobblestone streets. You understand?
How does that present a queer narrative? Go ahead and explain that.
Being lost on Pearl Street
presents a queer narrative. This is Bowen's area of expertise. Go on, Bowen.
Orientational disarray.
There you go. There's one.
Oh my God, this is so... proximity to water.
There you go. That's number two.
Number three, cobblestones.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I just think that we should be everywhere in every story.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, he's gay. No, it's like, no, this is another person. This is another narrative. This is another fabric of the human existence.
The tapestry.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
there was one show that I couldn't believe didn't have a gay character because it was such a gay show. Now I don't know it. But I, like, even like... I don't know. There's some shows out there where I'm like, where is the gay here?
Mm.
Like, I just... And you don't see it that happen
could
that
literally
much
be any show.
Should literally be anything.
Well, I started doing those roles and wanting to have those roles before any even some of my wonderful gay colleagues did. And it wasn't about just, you know, banging people over the head. It was like, no, these roles are being written and straight people are taking them and winning awards. So why don't you want to do them?
Right.
Why do you feel like you have to be validated by only doing straight roles?
Mm. Yes.
None of my straight actor friends go around and say, oh, I'm so sick of playing straight roles.
There you go.
Can I tell you what grinds my fucking gears off is when people are saying that Timothée Chalamet's character, Elio, in Call Me By Your Name is bisexual. No, bitch. That is a gay man.
I think it's based on the book.
Is he bisexual in the book?
Because in the ending, which is not included in the, which is not depicted in the movie, you know, both of them have future relationships with men and women. So on some technical level,
okay,
yes.
In that movie, he has a straight experience and is gay.
You can't
tell me Elio, like the pizza, Elio's pizza, which no one's talking about.
Okay, all right.
Which is so great. The rectangle.
Pizza. Yes, it's delicious.
No one's talking about the fact that Elio was named after the pizza. Italian.
Listen, it's square. No, it's not square. It's rectangle.
Rectangle. Yeah. You can cut it into a square if you want.
Crispy bottom.
Yeah. Beautiful.
We're going to go right past that.
Really, really good.
I was going to go in, but now you know what? We're going to go past
a square bottom. I just got it. I just got it, unfortunately. It took me long. I was on a lag.
I was jet lagged on that joke to call it back to LA to Vegas.
But listen, he's not buying that movie. He has a straight experience like we all do. We all suffer through that, and then we get to gay.
Do we?
I haven't.
You really?
Gold?
What are the... Gold.
Gold. Well, we're not platinum.
In terms of sex, yes.
Platinums are hard.
Platinums are C-sections.
C-sections,
right.
Yeah. They've never touched a vagina.
In terms of a vagina, I've never seen one even with my own eyes.
I have a joke about this, but I can't say it on air.
Okay. So we'll revisit it later. And then, you know, we'll let these boys leave the room. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to touch on something because you just talked about, you know, just, you know, having that representation or just having gay actors play gay roles. But I do want to talk about and ask you about your experience with being an actor, a gay actor, at a time when diversity wasn't this buzzword, where it wasn't like this thing of like, oh, this is actually desirable, where it was actually so institutionally challenging for you to actually book these roles and play these things. Like, I mean, how do you square that now? Like, is that, I mean, it's obviously positive, but like, was it?
It was difficult because I would go in for gay roles and they would say I wasn't gay enough because they didn't know any gay people like me who sort of didn't, you know, have come in with a pink boa and an immediate limp wrist and, you know, over the top and sort of Paul Lynde, which I had no problem with either.
Right.
Right.
But I was like, no, we're just really sort of regular, normal people. I said, I can be elegant at times. But, you know, it was hard for me to get a role. And the right. first gay role that I received was The Wild Party in 2000.
With Eartha. Yeah, 2000. Sometimes. Wow. And then how long had you been auditioning for screen stuff?
I never really wanted to do film or TV. So it had happened, but it just happened.
Sure.
And then, of course, even on stage, though, it was never sort of an overtly gay role. Nothing. And I had been working.
Right.
So, you know, it was sort of maybe flamboyant or over the top or charismatic.
It's so funny when they put a word in there that they think doesn't, when they think isn't like hitting it over the head. Like one thing, I go in for a lot of assistance and I get officious a lot.
Yes.
Like officious, well-dressed.
We've said on the show, like fastidious.
Fastidious. Like that's a new one we're seeing a lot.
Right. You know, dapper, you know, foppish.
Foppish.
I mean, foppish is, that's what they want. But sometimes, like, when they just will say gay, it's interesting to go into the room and see what else people have prepared, because some people will come in with this sort of caricature.
Yeah.
And it can be confusing because you don't know who's casting it. Maybe they do want the caricature. Or maybe they do want, when I read gay, I'm like, maybe I'll just go in as myself and that'll be enough because I'm gay. But it's confusing because it's like, from a casting standpoint, what do they want? How can I represent this, like, with integrity? It's very kind of confusing.
You know, it starts with the material.
Yeah.
If the material is good, that's all I really actually care about. If the writing is good, that's where you start. And then you can get into the minutia of personality acting.
Yeah.
You know, but just ask John Wayne what that's about.
Sure.
You know, any major star you can think of. Very rarely do you have a Meryl Streep.
Right.
Yeah. Who will step into a role and you becomes that person so intently that you can't believe that she played someone else at some point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and I don't mean that as a bad thing. I just mean, that's not as
it's not normal.
Right.
Yeah. It's not normal, and also it's like sort of not in vogue now. Right. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of actors you can say besides Meryl, and there's not a lot of, like, I think people, like, for example, like, say Margot Robbie's age, that do the chameleon thing. And that's why when everyone's like somebody asked the question recently, who's the Meryl of, like, our generation? And someone said Saoirse Ronan, and I'm like, that, you know, that's close. But really, it's like nowadays, because you need like a personal brand and everything, you don't see a lot of people stepping in and out of things and disappearing.
Right.
Because it's important that we're also able to, like, see them slay it on a talk show. You know, someone that says Jennifer Lawrence is the next Meryl, it's like, well, there's a big difference there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Although I did see that she'll be playing a Russian woman, so that would be fascinating.
I saw that.
That will be fascinating.
Yes, absolutely. Mm,
we'll see. I think what happens with that sort of thing, with the Russian thing, is people leave out their voices, and a voice is a part of the character that you're developing. Mm. And so I just want to put that out there.
Sure. They're first taking the voice for the accent.
Yeah, complete your character with the voice.
That
you have to complete, follow through.
That is really...
Like Roger Federer.
Yes. That's very true. And I never thought about that until last second.
And when you can't figure out why you're not loving someone's performance, it's usually their voice.
Mm.
Oh. Can I tell you, sometimes with Kate Winslet, and I think she's usually brilliant, but sometimes when her American accent seems extra American, I'm always like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
Like, I think she's better when she speaks in some sort of European dialect. And I read that English and Australian actors have a specifically hard time with the American accent because of the R's.
Mm.
Like, they speak, their R's are like that. And then the R is like a hard thing. So I can really hear them struggling to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just one thing that kind of distracts me. And also Nicole Kidman and Naomi Watts clearly have the same vocal coach because they have the same voice when they do American roles.
Maybe there's only one in Perth.
Maybe there's only one in Perth.
On the west coast of Australia.
But it's
I love Perth, though. I love it. You have televisions there.
We love you, Perth. We love you, Perth. All of our listeners in Perth, we're coming. We're coming. I Don't Think So, Honey in Perth. It's coming live in 2026.
There you go. Perth, I would love to visit. Perth is the only place in Australia I have not had the privilege of going to.
What? You've been everywhere else, bitch?
Yes,
shut up.
Yes.
You haven't been to the Outback, you hoe.
Now, I...
Ooh. We just made a left turn.
I just don't like lies.
Lies and fairy tales.
Lies and fairy tales, the Bowen Yang story, official.
You know what? Fine. I own up to my embellishments.
Listen, you've got to do it when you can.
When you know?
You're talking like you're Elizabeth Hasselbeck herself, been to the Australian Outback.
Now. Legs and shoulders, the last thing to go on a woman.
And it's legs now. Oh my god, this is fantastic. Now, this sounds like it's a. I've been prefacing all my questions with this is a little.
Stop doing that. Stop apologizing.
I'm ready.
It's actually rule number 13 of culture. Stop apologizing for yourself, you stupid bitch.
You know what, Nathan? I'm going to ask you straight.
Please.
Is LA to Vegas? Does it feel like a reunion with Will? I know maybe you're not seeing him every day on set, but at least you're.
Well, this is how it feels. It feels as though. The tonality of the show is so him.
Yes.
And that is so special to me.
Good.
Because it just feels like home, you know, like I get his humor.
Uh-huh.
And so, because it's the close to mine as far as this genre is concerned.
Right.
And I love the fact that it's so fast-paced that you actually have to watch it twice,
as we were discussing. Yes, it really is.
So, which is great, because you can go back and like, you know, did they say that?
Mm-hmm,
They did say that. So, you know... It's great, and apparently I'm putting the gift game.
Oh, of course
I'm
you
sure
are.
You are
on full blast.
You can give a reaction.
I think you've been on the gift.
You've been
game.
On this gift game.
You know, I had no idea, but then you know, the children are telling me now.
The children know
that I'm full on GIF.
But it's the
you
face. It's the face. It's the body. It's
face,
it's everything.
Face, body, face. Give them face, body, face,
you're
more Bibi Zahara. We're very into Bibi Zahara Benet and her music.
Yes, underscoring. Yes. Underscoring. Yes. Underscoring.
You're providing the material, so you should be very, very happy and
there's
satisfied.
There's no better line. There's no better interaction in Zoolander than the one you have after the coffee is spilled. No, the latte, the foamy latte.
Which we did 14 times. That was shot 14
times. 14
that
spills?
14 spills.
Oh my God.
And the reaction is the same because if it's cold or hot, it's the same on screen.
Well, sure.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And I remember being rather, you know, perplexed about... the coffee not showing up on the t-shirt.
Mm.
And he said, this is the gayest t-shirt in the world because we were wearing Two Exist. And that's when Two Exist just came out, right?
Two Exist.
But it wasn't tight enough because it had to be, you know, I have a nice, I can't believe I was going to say I have a nice chest. I have...
defined chest.
Yes, a defined chest is what I meant to say.
No.
I have a defined chest. So we needed the shirt to sort of frame
and
come away from the crevice.
Which I think it did a good job of doing.
Right. But what they had to do was they had to cut it on the sides and sew her up.
Oh.
Because we tried to do it with a little clamp, but it was pulling in the wrong spot, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, movie magic. That's what they call that, movie magic.
Yes.
We'll be learning about that when we go to Universal Studios.
We will. I mean,
and that was B-roll. That wasn't supposed to be
really?
There. We were doing that for Ben's benefit.
A plus.
If that wasn't in the movie, I mean, we wouldn't know because we would never have seen it, but that would have been a real loss. A real loss to cinema.
It's an inherently queer moment.
Oh, yes.
It's rippled out.
You know, it's one of those moments that you were watching.
Nathan's laughing, but it's true.
It's very gay, and thank God. And also, that's how I know I love Will Ferrell so deeply.
Yes.
Because, like, of course, then he became, like, sort of the poster child for, like, 15-year-old high school kids being like, oh, yeah, San Diego, whale's vagina, dude.
Yeah.
But, like, no, what they don't understand is there was the foamy latte.
Foamy latte makes me bloated and gassy?
Yes.
Yes. I mean,
farty and bloated with the foamy latte.
Bloated. I'm sorry.
My mistake, sir. Your mistake indeed. I mean, come on.
My mistake, Jacques Aubin. I'm sorry. We're in the presence of...
Oh, you're right. We have to be perfect.
And just originating the pronunciation. I mean, there's just so much to unpack.
Well, that's
here.
When I looked at it, I said, that's the way it sounds.
Jacques Aubin.
Jacques Aubin.
Even hearing you say it now.
Jacobim.
Oh my God. I mean.
And we did have to cut because there was too much laughter. After I first said, I was like, what is everyone laughing about?
Yeah.
Because that's how I actually thought it would sound.
I'm sorry. How is it supposed to be pronounced?
I don't know.
Yeah. I bet no one knew.
You know, but I said Jacobim. You know, I guess it didn't have to be sort of French on the front side of it.
Yeah.
It could have been Jacobin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, but that doesn't sound
right. Or like
right.
Joachim or Joachim.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Jacobim.
Jacobim
is...
But I thought he's a designer and he's trying to be, you know, a fancy designer.
Yeah, right?
Even though he's only done the piano tie. And so I wanted to, you know, pump him up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jacobim.
Beautiful. That actually happened one other time in cinema history. Alicia Silverstone, instead of Haitians, said Haitians.
And they went
to correct her, and Amy Heckling, the director, was like, don't you dare correct her. She will say Haitians each time, and it will be in the movie.
Absolute Haitians.
You can certainly party with the Haitians.
It's brilliant. So good.
One of the best ever.
I think Jacobim edges it out just
I don't
by this
think
much.
I have two more favorite movies than Zoolander and Clueless.
There you
and
go.
That says everything you need.
You know, the night we were shooting that particular scene as well was right around the time that Al Gore had won and Bush had lost.
Oh,
and then by the time
wow.
we finished, it switched.
I'm sure you've told this before, but
that's
this
horrifying.
This is huge.
That had to be seared into your memory whenever you
watch
it.
Yeah, it was snowing in the city at that time.
Oh my God, this has to be in some movie trivia.
IMDb trivia.
Yeah, because we were all watching it once we started. That was a very long day. I remember it being over like 12, 14 hours. And
my God.
He was winning and had won Florida. And then, of course, all that nonsense. Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. And just to go back to the wardrobe. And I will say, and you still do, but the body was snatched.
The body was snatched.
And it was like that. I was like that guy, so funny. And look at him, wow.
And a fashion icon. What he's saying by look at him, wow, is he wanted you.
Yum.
This is great news. This makes me so happy.
I hope this makes you proud.
Yes, it does.
Well, we recently met. Will Ferrell, did you watch his SNL that he just
had? I did.
Had? It was a fantastic episode.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
And I actually was in the writer's room because our dear friend, Sudie Green, is a writer on the show.
Yes.
And I was there for it. And I ran into our friend, his name is James Anderson.
James Anderson.
A writer on the SNL for many years. And I told him, he wrote a sketch series called Deep House Dish.
And he wrote...
I remember this.
Oh, you remember Deep House
Dish.
Of course. So that, like, changed my life in terms of knowing that people got my sense of humor. Like, I was like, I can keep going on and existing in the world because someone gets it.
Yes.
That, to me, was like that... Your entire performance in that movie, I was like, oh my God. Yes, God.
Just like a formative piece, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you.
And so we love telling you that.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for everything you've done and continue to do.
Yes.
LA to Vegas, fantastic. I can't wait to keep watching it.
It's good.
We're preempted tomorrow night, I believe, because of another comedy at the White House. Dark comedy.
Can you even fathom the nonsense that is Omarosa Manigault going on Celebrity Big Brother
within a month of leaving the White House?
It's truly...
But it goes beyond irony, and I don't know what the phrase is.
It's not funny. It's not even like...
It's like... I don't even know what it is.
It's tragic. It's a phantasmagoria.
It's like Chekhovian or something.
Sure.
It's just, I don't know.
It's beyond. And also, it's like you see her name and then the rest of the cast is like, oh my God, there's not even anyone here like that's going to understand a word of what's going on.
Oh.
It's like Lance Bass, who I don't know, maybe he's lovely and very intelligent.
He might be.
I don't know, but he should stay away.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't. In any case,
I didn't know if he was like
a
secret close friend
of
yours.
No, God. I mean, not God, but no.
Lance owns a TV.
No, Lance owns a TV. He does own a TV. I don't know. I think he probably watches like
Lance's friends have TVs.
Yeah. Lance is on TV.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Lance's friends are every gay in LA.
Exactly.
So we
there
have to wind this back.
And I love the what is that the thing he did the race
the thing he did Amazing Race.
No, in France. What's it called?
The Tour de France. Yes,
I love the Tour de France.
Lance Armstrong. Yes, absolutely.
The other Lance.
Wait a minute. Which one were we talking about?
We were talking about Lance Bass from NSYNC.
I conflated them.
There you go. And you know what?
You know why? Because they're both blonde.
And this actually lets you get away with scot-free because you got them confused.
I got them confused. I adore Lance Bass. Is he affiliated with the Bass Shoes?
Absolutely.
All right.
He must be. Now let's...
And the bass guitar. And the bass fish.
Oh, right. He was part of the band.
Yeah, he actually was, interestingly enough, the bass...
Of NSYNC.
And NSYNC, and his last name is Bass.
That's irony.
That's irony.
There
yes.
you go.
No conflating.
Words.
Now, let's move on to our ending segment.
Yes,
I don't think so, honey. Which Nathan has come so prepared
yes,
for.
Yes, I'm prepared
now, here's
with my
the
little
thing.
Post-it.
We're not going to be able to get to all of them.
No.
So I'm
just going to read them off.
I think you should read them off, and then whichever one you feel you connect with the most in this moment, that's what the one you'll do.
Or you feel connected with.
Sure.
We already got one out.
So my thing is, if you get in front of me, either on the road or walking, you have to go faster.
Okay, oh, yeah.
That drives me crazy.
100%.
If you're listening to music on your headphones, you should be the only one hearing that music.
100%. That's a big one of
mine. Especially on the subway.
Okay, so far, that's crazy.
I'm guilty of being on the other side of that.
I'll just leave this out there. Too much riffing.
Okay.
Too much riffing.
I'm guilty of that, so...
Yeah, too much riffing is not good. Just not good. Not knowing what you want when you get to the counter.
Oh! Thank you.
Yes, me bananas.
Yes.
There's the passion.
Okay, we already went over both sides.
Yes.
And then I have one here that's really sort of minutia.
Okay.
But it's explaining something that's obvious more than once.
Okay. Oh.
It drives me insane.
I know what you mean. I think I want to hear your. I don't think so, honey. On too much riffing.
I sort of want to hear it about the counter.
Okay, it's a face-off. I think the reason why I want to hear mine is because, and I think listeners will agree with me, it's more bitchy.
No, you like it because it has to do with you. I like the counter one.
This motherfucker.
I like the counter one because
you are stupid.
It's a slice of life, and it's everyone can relate to it.
Oh, what? So we're going to hear another one about how someone who has a problem in a restaurant? Tale as old as time.
Speaking
of Tale as Old as Time, you should never start that song off with riffing. To start us, first of all, a riff or an ornamenti or anything, something like this, a grace note, they happen as a form of musical emotion. Yes. They have to come from somewhere.
Scholar.
They have to be earned.
So you can't really do a riff at the top of a fucking song unless it's so specific.
Yeah.
It was like, why are you riffing?
Ms. Barbara, way we were.
Yeah. Why are you riffing?
There you go. Okay,
there's nothing to riff about.
You know what? I think, fine. I will concede and let Nathan do the one on riffing.
I'm gonna jump in there on that counter though.
You know what? You can do whatever you want with your time. Let me tell you something. It's rule number 63 of culture. You can do whatever you want with your time. But you want to shake it up. You want to do 30-30. You want to do 15-15-15-15. You can do whatever you need.
Well, you definitely don't riff when you get to the front of the counter.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the worst
not
thing.
Knowing
that's,
what you want.
That's
why
literally
don't you know
me.
What you want?
Oh,
I'll be like,
why don't you know what you want?
I'll be like, what do I want to?
No.
Now that I'm here.
You're dead. Okay, so
especially at the movie theater. Especially at the cinema. You mean to tell me you don't know what movie you want to see?
You had all the time on the way to the theater to figure it out.
See, what I had assumed you were going to say was when they go up to the snacks concession stand and they don't know what they want. To go up to the box office and not know which flick...
It's like, what is happening? What is that? I want them to spontaneously combust when that happens.
Also, yes. They're all so different at any given point in time. You're never going to see X-Men and Spider-Man at the same thing.
Bitch,
so if you can see X-Men or Rachel getting married, choose.
You know choose.
What? This is amazing.
It's not Sophie's choice.
It's not Sophie's choice. Because guess what, bitch? It's not dead after the fact.
Exactly.
You can go see it later.
So let's
is a communal I don't think so, honey, and I'm loving this.
I'm
spirit.
Loving it. So let's have Matt go. Or I can go first.
I'll go first.
So we'll do 1 minute each on our topics, and then we'll throw it to Nathan.
Will you put me on the clock?
So this is Matt Rogers.
Wait, hold on. I said I had two, right?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I know. I have a bad memory nowadays.
You want me to go first?
No, no. I'll go first. I know which one I want to do.
Okay, so this is Matt Rogers. So you work in the phrase, I don't think so, honey, as much as you can.
Yes.
This is Matt Rogers' I don't think so, honey, his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, when I watch an award show and it's as if there's only one movie or one song or one album that came out that whole motherfucking year. Bruno Mars and his little ass. Let me tell you something. 24 Karat Magic, sure. When I first heard it, famously on a party boat, I did gag. And I shook my... kind of a little bit for a white boy, kind of big ass, and I sort of enjoyed myself, but if I had known, bitch, by the end of the year that it was going to take album, record, song, performance, bitch, I would say I would eat my hat. Because let me tell you something, there's no way that it's the best written song and best performed song and best produced song in the whole year and also happens to be on the best album of the year. No, we need to spread the wealth, bitch, and I don't want to open up this Oscars conversation and then see The Shape of Water wins every motherfucking thing, because I'll be very upset. Bodak Yellow should have won something, because it's the only song in the club that will have you winded at the end. Fuck these award shows that only give out to one thing.
That's 1 minute. Wow.
It's my best one that I've done in months.
Oh my goodness.
Inspired.
And you know what's uninspired? You know what's uninspired? Award shows that only give awards to one thing.
Thank you.
That's true.
Diversification.
Diversify it up. Also, I want to say one more thing about the Grammys. How dare they? And I said months ago, if Ed Sheeran beats Ms. Kelly, Ms. Pink, Ms. Gaga, and Ms. Kesha for that pop vocal performance award, the gays, that's when we storm the castle. And what has happened, what has occurred?
A song that was bit a little bit, by the way, by with the three girls, Left Eye and...
Yeah. Candy Burris has a songwriting credit on it.
Someone is coming against you.
Scrubs. Yeah, no scrubs.
Yes.
I don't want no scrubs. You know what else I don't want? No Ed Sheeran showing up on my television.
Taking
an award from all my girls.
Dan's leaving.
Bye, Dan. Just as we're talking about the Dirty Ginger.
All right, so that's my I don't think so, honey. Also, kind of strange that we're awarding a song that says I'm in love with the shape of you that objectifies a woman's body
in this year, the year of Time's Up. Shape of Water.
There you go. Shape of Water.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, that is a sign it's gonna win. Fuck, as Mila once said.
It's all right. Okay, as Mila said.
As Mila once said. Fuck.
You's on the clock.
We're on the clock. Here we go, Bowen Yang.
All right.
I just noticed that there's two iconic Milas, Jovovich and Kunis. And with that, Bowen Yang's I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Los Culturistas listeners who keep telling Matt and I to comment on Britney Spears' Instagram. We have no onus to do this. It's too sad. It's too tragic. It's just as sad as Omarosa going on Celebrity Big Brother. Don't make us do this. It's, you know what? We love you so much. We will do anything for you, but except for comment on Britney Spears' Instagram.
Negatively,
because we're not going to do that. You know, and there's...
I didn't even know she had an Instagram.
She has an Instagram, and it's she's having fun. She's having fun. She's doing a lot.
I love that.
We love it, but people are just telling us to be snarky about it, and we're like, no, it's...
20
that's
seconds.
Not our job. We don't want to drag people down. We don't want to, you know...
We don't do that here. Very positive.
You know what? This is what it is. It's punching down. So I don't think so many people who'd want us to punch down, because that's not what we do here, honey. A Los Culturistas.
Five seconds.
We lift up. We punch up. We do things up, honey. And it's up we go.
That's one minute.
Up and away.
It's up we go. And I have to say, I absolutely concur. If you think you're going to tune into this podcast and hear something mean about someone who... you know, has been through it and, you know, maybe can't speak for herself and defend herself, you're not going to hear it here, honey.
No, you're only
going to hear snark about mask drag performer Zac Efron and the like, because they are in control.
They are. There
Absolutely.
You go. So, Nathan, we've arrived. Have you reached any clarity about what you want to speak on more? The riffing, the counter?
I mean, we
talked about what I really have a thing about
already. Okay.
But if I must go on.
You must. I think we should just put the clock on and see what the fuck happens. That's what I think.
Should we do that?
Well, listen. Here's the thing about
it. He grabbed his beads.
Here's the thing about it. There are a couple of things that get on my nerves.
Okay.
First of all, we'll just go down the list. The getting in front of me really does bug me, because it's like, okay, I'm not walking fast enough. I know I don't think so, honey. I walk fast enough.
I'm going to start the timer. Here we go.
Go.
I don't think so, honey. I walk fast enough. Uh-huh. But if you think you're going to get your little butt in front of me.
Little butt.
And then walk slower.
Ah! No.
What is that all about?
No.
Especially on these streets. On these New York City streets.
Ah!
No one's coming for me on these New York City streets.
No.
Along with my bag, which works as some sort of rudder.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And it keeps me going. It keeps me going.
Yes.
So I purposely walk just slow enough so they can't get around me.
30 seconds.
So you know what, honey? I don't think so. I don't think so on the road either. You're going to get in front of me and I'm already in the middle lane. So if you really want to go that fast,
no.
Get in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Get in the fast
seconds.
Lane. I don't think so, honey. If you're going to get in front of me, get in front
10.
Of me and go fast.
Oh. Yeah.
Not slow. Don't slow it down. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I'm in front of him.
5
seconds.
I'm not
like some sort of psychological thing. You want to get in front of me.
Oh.
It ain't going to happen. Oh,
that's
I don't think
minute.
So, honey.
And that's
I don't
1 minute.
Think so.
And you know
masterful.
What? That's how, this is the impact that will have. No one will ever do that again. No one will ever
do that
again.
To anyone.
At least say hello.
And guess
at
what?
Least.
At least say hello before you fuck me up.
Exactly.
Listen.
And breaking my stride.
Yes.
Nobody gonna break my stride.
Nobody gonna hold me down. Oh no. I got to keep on moving.
And they gotta keep.
Oh, come on, placement.
No riffing there.
No, just a clear note. And let me tell you something. Here's the tea.
My head is hot.
We're
having so much fun.
We know that we have listeners. We have seen the diagnostics, I think is the word. We know that you're in
the analytics.
The analytics, sure. I don't know my words, but I do know my heart,
yes.
My famous saying. I know we have people listening here in San Francisco. I know Los Angeles that you guys listen. I know we have some people in Orlando that are listening, and I know you're on the open road. I know this is not a situation like New York City where you don't think this applies to you. Well, guess what, bitch? We're talking to everyone that gets behind the wheel of a car and tries it.
Yes.
Don't try it. Don't try
do
it.
Not
especially if I'm in the if I'm in the middle of lanes.
Yes. No, middle
My
lane.
My thing is that, and you know what? If I'm going by the speed limit rules,
mm-hmm.
and you have an issue, an issue with that, take your ass to the fast lane.
Get out.
Go to the fast lane.
Get yeah. out, like the movie.
Get
like
out, directed by Jordan Peele.
Starring Betty Gabriel. Who was robbed of an Oscar.
And here's my thing. Don't you understand satire? Some people who come to me and say, I don't get it.
What's there not
that,
to get?
That's another. I don't
who
think
the,
so.
Who the fuck
yeah,
didn't get that movie?
It's like, it's a satire. What's a satire?
Well, then read a book.
Read a book, bitch.
It's not unsubtle.
Read
a book, bitch. It's actually rule number 48 of culture.
Read a book, bitch.
Oh, Nathan gets it. Nathan's joining us on these.
This is a episode. Read a book, bitch.
Read a book, bitch. Read a book.
This is so great.
This is one of my favorites. All-time favorites.
100%.
Well,
what do you think, HPJ?
Absolutely.
Yes. I've had a B-A-double-L.
B-A-double-L.
Read a book, bitch, if you don't know what that means.
He brought it to this wall. L.A. to Vegas.
Oh, Tuesday nights at
9. Tuesday evenings.
Yes, honey, on Miss Fox.
On
and
Ms.
then
Fox.
Someone's like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to watch. I said, it's not Fox News.
Yeah right.
They don't That's know, just two different it. Things, boo.
They thought they were supporting the evil conglomeration.
No, it's two different things. And Disney has bought us now anyway.
Thank you,
exactly.
Disney.
Right.
Thank you, Bob Iger.
Thank you, Iger.
Thank you.
Our president. No, please, no. Stick in your lane.
Did you just hear that they want to possibly buy the 5G? Like
what?
A network, and the government wants to buy 5G network.
What?
And
no.
then have the phone companies rent from them. That just came out today.
No, I don't know about that.
Because
I don't think
they
so,
think,
honey.
Because
that.
They think that China is going to spy on us through the 5G network.
Oh, my God.
And they
God.
Want to control it and have the phone companies rent from them. I'm just saying.
Wow. But you know what? China's
mm-hmm.
going to spy.
And the
no
big gag
what.
Is, you know, it could happen.
Oh my God! I don't even want to. This is getting real and bleak.
Okay,
this
you dropped a bomb on me.
Bleak.
You dropped the bomb,
baby.
I think
you
this
dropped
episode.
You dropped a bomb on me,
baby. This is gonna be where we finish
you
the episode.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me. Oh, we went out together.
Iconic drop.
Iconic drop.
And thank you everyone for listening. Yes. And you're welcome for this episode, you stupid bitch.
Oh my god,
bitch.
Thank you so much, Nathan Lee Graham.
I've had such a pleasure. You guys are wonderful.
The pleasure is ours. The pleasure is ours.
So much fun. I hope to come back and do a little guest spot.
Anytime you want.
Literally, you tell Dan to get in touch with us and we will make it happen.
There you go.
Yes, yeah, so usually around award season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
We would be honored.
Okay, so are you an Oscars, you know, aficionado?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's HPJ just looked at me with hate in his heart because basically he emailed and said, I think we should do an all Oscars episode. I said, bitch, we already did that. And here we sit. But also, HPJ, I wouldn't have changed a thing about this episode. And this is all entirely like not shit the listeners need to hear.
Right, exactly.
Which
exactly.
Is probably means we should wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up.
Wrapping it up.
So
with a W.
Finishing the hat, wrapping up the ep.
As Stephen Sondheim once said.
Wrapping up the ep.
Wrapping up the ep.
Tying in a bow, making it just so.
Wrapping up the app.
Bye.
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 Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.